Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi, head of identity content at HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, head of HuffPost Personal.
Welcome to Am I Doing It Wrong? The show that explores the all too human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
Okay, Raj, Happy New Year, first of all.
Happy New Year.
Now, I have maybe the most intimate question I've asked you, and I think it's perfect to kick off 2024.
Hit me.
How good of a pooper do you think you are?
There it is, folks. Okay, I do have to say, if we're self-grading, I think A+. I happen to believe I'm a very healthy pooper. Mm. Like, same time every morning. I feel like it looks like the Bristol stool quiz says it's supposed to,
right,
whatever.
Right, that you see online, yeah.
Yes, but I'm not totally sure. What about you?
I think that is where I'm at, too. It feels like I'm doing a good job. But how do we know? Because
we don't really talk about it. Yeah.
No, it's so taboo. But you know who does talk about it?
Tell me.
Dr. Evan Goldstein. He's an anal surgeon and the founder and CEO of Bespoke Surgical here in New York City. I first met him a couple years ago when I did a podcast on anal sex with him. I wasn't having anal sex with him. We were talking about it.
We don't judge in this space.
But he's like the butt master. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, let's have him back on. And this time we'll talk about pooping. We'll figure out what we're doing wrong and how we can do it better.
All right. Well, pop off, Poop King.
Hi, Dr. Goldstein. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I want to start with what happens when we go into the bathroom and we actually sit on the toilet. Mm-hmm. I was reading about something called potty posture. Is there actually an ideal posture that we should be using when we are pooping?
I think the answer is there's lots of things that you need to think about while you're pooping.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's not your iPhone and Instagram and TikTok, and it's not sitting for too long. I think the element of thinking about your session is, how do I make it the quickest and the easiest with the least amount of pressure?
Totally. This is not your time to meditate.
It's not.
Okay.
Well, meditate of like breathing and concentrating to open your hole, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But allowing the process to happen. And I usually say to people, if you feel like you need to go poop, you go to the bathroom, you sit on the bowl. If it's not coming out within 30 seconds or less, stand up, brush your teeth, go about with your
literally
day.
Shit or get off the pot.
Yes.
Yes.
That saying is so important. But from a posture perspective, it's, you know, when the, what's, I always forget what's the thing when you, that you step on.
The squatty potty.
Yeah. Oh, fucking squatty potty.
Yeah.
It doesn't take into account your height. It doesn't take into account your toilet bowl's height.
Right.
Right? So everybody's pelvic angle is different.
But there is an ideal, like, I always wondered about this. I have a squatty potty. Yeah. I finally got one. And, like, I do feel like it helps.
It does.
But what is it doing what angle is it giving us that we should try and replicate whenever we're pooping?
Have you ever seen like a kid with a diaper, like a baby with a diaper, mm-hmm. like that just stands but like kind of squats?
Yes. Yes.
That's kind of the positioning.
Okay.
Right? It's just a matter of like the angle of where poop is.
Got it.
So I think before we get there, you probably need to say like, well, where is shit?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's in what's called the sigmoid colon, which is actually a little bit higher than what's the rectum. So when we feel the urge to go, like most people go first thing in the morning,
right?
Right? We're laying down. We then go from laying to standing. That signals to the body that the pelvic angle is starting to change on its own. So now the stool that is in the sigmoid colon is starting to move.
It's traveling.
You feel it like when you're brushing your teeth, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God, I'm ready to go soon, right?
Yeah.
But it moves in position. Then you sense that. It relaxes an internal sphincter, which is the muscle inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit down and relax the other two muscles with your meditation that you spoke about. And then finally, it evacuates.
Got it.
But yes, there is the right angle. It's just, it's hard for me to tell you and the listeners what angle that is.
Yes.
You guys have to kind of like go out there and find it.
Is it a little different for everyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. Especially female pelvises are so different than male,
uh-huh.
right? You guys, you know, have to deliver babies.
Sure.
And uh-huh. so the muscles are different. There's much more elasticity. The angles are different, specifically even in sex. And I'm sure we'll get to sex mm-hmm. at some point. But again, how people enter, whether it's vaginal or anal, mm-hmm. all that stuff, it is variable as to what that angle is. That's why I usually tell people like solo play for sex is so important because you figure out what the angles are
sure,
right. that works for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Same concept with whether or not to put a stack of books or buy the squatty potty
right.
or like, you know, some people lift their hands up.
Oh. Like on a roller coaster.
Like on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it straightens the colon. It like changes the angle for
sure.
people. And most people probably do it on their own anyway. Like, how do you sit? Do you like move yourself forward a little bit?
A little bit. Right? And you know what? I've been thinking about posture a lot because in different cultures and countries, there's different toilet systems,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like in India, where I grew up for a part of my childhood, there's like holes in the ground. And in the Middle East as well, there's like little, and
that's
people
right.
are like, this is the way you're supposed to poop, totally squatting. And I'm like, I don't know, this feels like uncomfortable, but whatever it is. But it also, the squatting part made more sense to me than sitting on the toilet,
yeah.
like in the United States. So it's true, right? That like different countries believe
totally.
the ideal posture is different.
Totally. And I think that, again, the squatting component, what it's doing is it's really putting all of the pressure away. It's dispersing pressure as much as possible so that now everything is opening to give the capacity so that you can evacuate and be comfortable with it. If you're like pushing and like, you know, red in the face, like, don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not, and then you have to really look at diet and what you're eating and fiber and kind of motility agents and really things to kind of get yourself. I always say, look at dogs.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Your dogs poop beautifully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's the diet. It's, you know, they go when they actually need to, not like I need to go to work. I got to force it.
Yeah.
Right. People are afraid to go like in Starbucks and take a poop.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
also, I feel like dogs are squatting. Like,
they
you know what I mean?
Squatting.
So
you
they look at that.
It seems perfect.
And dogs are so much better than us.
In so yeah, many
they
ways.
Are. And they don't need to clean either
right.
after. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, periodically you get like the weird one.
Yeah.
I beg to differ.
Well, they're
feel
also
like
self-cleaning, which that is not something I'm ever going to do. Even if that is a good thing.
My kids always ask, they're like, why does he lick his things? And I was like, well, if you'd be able to lick yours, I was like, did you try? And Sebastian's like, just give me the look.
The blank face. But okay. I want to get back to pushing.
Yeah.
Because so let's say we're on the toilet, we've got our good posture, whether we're using a squatty potty or we're just squatting, whatever we're doing. And is there any point where we should be pushing? And if so, how do we do it so we're not hurting ourselves?
Mm-hmm. You're going to need to give a little go.
A little starter push?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially because most people's initial poops are a little harder.
Mm.
Oh.
Because what happens is, remember, poop is obviously what we've eaten plus water and all the liquids, but the water usually gets absorbed back into our system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if a stool is sitting for long times, what's going to happen? Water is going to leave the stool. So right. It becomes harder and more difficult to initiate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that the best would be to have a really great diet. Mm-hmm. Most of the Western diets don't have enough fiber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of people are doing supplementation. And not all fiber is created equal. Right. So you have to see what really works for you. I like nighttime fiber. Hmm. Because at the end of the day, we do poop mostly in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I just find that like the body is during sleep is really like, it's kind of like recharging yourself. Mm-hmm. And so by having the fiber at night with a nice tall glass of water, it's kind of mitigating any complications or issues and making things move.
It's like a bread machine.
Exactly.
And like the bread is like, it's, you know, it's overnight. Forming. Yes, exactly. Raj is giving me the dirtiest look right now.
No, this is the best. And forgive me if I'm skipping ahead, but I want to know about the timing because I've read a lot. I've seen like images in articles about, I've read a lot of articles about pooping and real friends talk about poop. So my friends and I talk about pooping and
we, mine too. Yes.
Yes. And that's, you know, that's your real friends. So we're all real friends. I've seen like a clock that says that most people poop between 7 and 10 AM. And then like the urge for most people is not there in the afternoon at night. Is that true?
It's very true. I mean, it's variable, right? People with IBS and people that mm-hmm. have a lot of issues. I usually
a lot of my friends,
a lot, especially IBS. New York City. Mm. It's like there's
this
something
is
here.
By IBS country for sure. Yeah.
It's like 3-4 times a day. It's like, right. Oh, it's a lot. Right. It's a lot. And then it just creates more pressure, more irritation, more wiping.
Yeah.
And then people come to my office and see me for like stupid shit that we could fix easily, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But with that being said, I mean, yes, I think the problem is in our world, people don't want to shit outside their homes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they really are using that window of 7 to 10 to force themselves, even if they don't necessarily need to.
Right.
They're like, I don't want to go at the office, or the toilet paper there sucks and I'm going to get, you know, irritated. And so people, you know, smoke cigarettes, drink caffeine, mm-hmm. create something that's going to be a stimulant for them to move things around.
And those work.
Oh my God.
And they do.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can't drink coffee. I love coffee.
Uh-huh.
I haven't drank it in years because I'll just shit all day.
Wow.
It's terrible.
Okay.
But there are people that it doesn't affect that just by doing that, they have one good bowel movement.
Yeah.
And it moves things along.
I will see people in the morning, like going to work, and I'll see them with a cup of coffee and a cigarette. And I'm like,
no,
I know where you're going to be in 25 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, the cup of coffee for me, I would call myself like an Ivy League pooper. Like it's at the same time every morning. It's like one cup of coffee just like gently just urges me. It's so wonderful. And I always wonder about like if that's the case for everyone or if like I do have friends that can't drink coffee like out in the world because mm-hmm. they're like, I'm going to like have my issues.
You know, again, I think it's analyzing what works, right? If people know that they're eating certain things like dried fruits are really great, right? You know, the apricots, the prunes, mm-hmm. all that stuff, the dried strawberries, mangoes, all that stuff kind of propulses things, right? Uh-huh. So you just kind of have to figure out what works. I think where I see a lot of people with injury, with issues, whether it's hemorrhoids or tearing and stuff, is, you know, college kids, everyone's not eating well, drinking a lot of alcohol, just
not enough water.
Not enough water and just not really getting into a good rhythm. Our bodies are habitual, right?
Yeah.
And so like, you know, the reason why most people stay and eat the same thing over and over and over is because again, it's a machine like that. Mm-hmm. When you're deviating and it's alcohol and pizzas and fats and all this stuff, now it starts to change a lot of that and it affects the pooping.
So when I was 5, I had cancer and they removed part of my, I guess my small intestine. I don't know. There's some kind of mechanism that stops you from all the poop just coming out all the time.
Totally.
So I'm super regular. Like I do poop 4 or 5 times a day because my body's just built that way now.
But so envious.
For other, it's pretty great.
I mean, he's
actually
in great shape also. And I bet that has something to do with
maybe,
it.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. But is there... Can you be pooping too much or not enough? Let's say you don't have a medical issue.
That's my question too. Can you be pooping too much?
Yeah. You know, you don't have IBS. It's not like you're, you know, but do you not want to be pooping too much or I had a friend too who would like poop once every like 8 days. Like she was always constipated.
Yeah.
Oh, is no. there a sweet spot? Is it the once a day?
It really is so variable. Okay. Honestly. I mean, I think it's like, look, if you're constipated and you feel bloated and shitty, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Right. Like
yeah.
we need to figure out how do you get the system moving.
Right.
I think that, you know, most people are the 2 to 3 times a day.
Okay.
You know, It's so variable. I think at the end of the day, it's what works. But like if you're pooping X amount, mm-hmm. each time you're sitting, you're creating more pressure. Each time you're wiping, if you're not using a bidet or some other components, and now you're irritating the skin.
Right. Yeah.
So it winds up being a lot for people, you know, and especially we're sitting all the time, we're in Zooms, we're doing all these things, and then now all the wiping and all of this. So I think the key is how do you get it to the least amount for you mm-hmm. where you feel the most comfortable? And really analyzing, you know, when you're constipated, you feel like shit,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, literally. I mean, literally, you're like, oh God, like this is terrible.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
again, there are people that I know that go once or twice a week and they're totally fine.
Okay.
Like they're like, I'm good.
I spiritually don't agree with that, but like that's just me. It's very hard to hear a doctor say that.
Yeah.
Can we just return to one thing you said that I want to talk about? Sitting on the toilet for too long,
yeah.
potentially.
Yeah.
I also read this recent article, and I think it was in the Times, that said men spend more time in the bathroom than women. And I feel like there are some people of every gender that feel like this is my only alone time, especially if you have kids and stuff. So you're in there enjoying your life for 30 to 45 minutes, but on the toilet.
Totally.
Tell me what happens. That's not me. And I don't think that's great for an idea in my head. So tell me.
Yeah, I used to know this guy. I took a bartending class when I was in college and he was the manager. And he would literally say to us, I'm going to be in the office. Yeah. And when he said the office, he meant he would be on the toilet and he would be in there for like 45 minutes.
Totally.
But I think he was like reading the newspaper, yeah. checking his email.
And maybe not like, even trying to poop. Yeah.
I think it's a cultural thing. Like we think of that. Like you go and read a magazine or yeah. you're on Candy Crush, but you think that's a horrible idea.
I agree.
Well, I mean, it was the same thing. Like my dad, the same thing for you know, an hour.
Yeah.
And it's right. It was very much of your alone time. You're able to be where you need to be. The problem is that the shitting mechanism is if you're sitting on the bowl, you're initiating that. Well, what happens? Blood enters. Lots of blood. So let's talk about hemorrhoids because I think this will really answer the question. So hemorrhoids are normal. Everyone's like, oh, I got hemorrhoids. Yeah, we all have hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are these little airbags in everybody's butt. And why are they there? Well, whoever created us created these airbags because there are these two different cells, let's say cell A and cell B, and they form a seam. At any seam, it's a weak spot.
Okay.
So they said, okay, we know shitting is going to be really high pressure. So at that seam, we're going to put these airbags to kind of take the pressure down. Now, if you're sitting long on the bowl, what's happening? More blood is going into that airbag. It's literally filling up and it's sitting there. Now, what's the real mechanism? I feel like I need to poop. I sit on the bowl. Blood goes within 30 seconds to a minute. The poop is out. You've wiped. Stand up. When you stand up, and we'll talk about wiping standing up. When you stand up, the blood now loses that mechanism and the blood starts to leave. But if you're sitting too long on the bowl, you're pushing too much. You're creating too much pressure. So much blood is entering that space where the mechanism, the right mechanism, can become abnormal. And what happens is people start developing symptomatic issues of hemorrhoids. They're bleeding. It's painful. They're going in and out of the ass. They're blocking. They can clot where, and that's really painful for a lot of people. So a lot of that is, are you sitting too long on the bowl? Are you pushing too much? Is the stool too thick and not easy to expel? All these types of things play into it. So I get it. I would just say, like, you know, if you want a healthy ass, it's not looking at Instagram or TikTok or, you know, swiping right or left for an hour on the toilet bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period.
Oh, that just gave me poop anxiety, like that whole conversation. That's so stressful to think about. I feel like sitting on the toilet for too long, I knew it wasn't good, But like now you explain
it. And how many
like,
of these people have numb legs?
Right.
Fuck. Yeah. I mean, they're like, and then they try to stand up. And they're like, oh, this happens all the time. Like, yeah, well, think about what's happening to your butthole. It's like, that's not good.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
So Raj, tell me, how is your social battery right now?
You know, today it's pretty high and vibrant, but it varies day to day.
That makes total sense because it's super easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Truly. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. For me, therapy has been illuminating. Just to be able to process day-to-day anxieties has helped me so much. I kind of wish that for everyone.
Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/doingitwrong today and get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/doingitwrong. Welcome back to Am I Doing It Wrong?
Should we talk about wiping?
I think we should definitely talk about wiping.
Okay. I mean, I'm just going to hit him with the most direct. Is there a preferred method to wiping?
Yeah. Yes, it's not wiping.
Oh, okay.
Is it blotting? Like, what are we doing?
Blotting. I think it's blotting and paint. Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, people that are listening, you guys are going to be really upset at me. Everyone always is. Wet wipes.
Yes. Mm. Okay. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
They are so terrible. Not only for the environment, but for your hole.
Wait, I thought we were going to praise them.
Why is this?
Okay, I'm telling you now, and like, I don't want to name companies. There's so many companies that are just like out there throwing wipes.
Yeah.
I think they should all be banned.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So I see 30 people a week at the bespoke surgical office. Okay. Excuse me, not a week, a day, 90 a week.
Wow.
Okay.
I would say a third of all the people coming through are coming in from wet wipe induced issues.
What are these issues?
Yeah. This is blowing my mind.
So what happens is they change the microbiome of the hole.
Got it.
Think about it. We have good bacteria, we have bad bacteria, but they are in homeostasis, right? They're in equilibrium, okay?
Yeah.
Right. Wet wipes fucks that in a really bad way. And I don't know what it is. Is it the fabric? Is it the liquid? Because
the
they'll be like, oh, chemical, fragrance free, all this shit, whatever. Is it moisture? Like, does everyone just like use the wet wipes and then just like pull up their underwear or pants and then like they're sitting in the wetness?
You gotta air your butthole.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I see ridiculous dermatitis, which is like bacterial infections down there. I see HPV, a significant amount of anal warts and vaginal warts from people using wet wipes. I see herpes reactivation.
Not that they get it.
No, but they have, so first of all,
it'll exacerbate it.
Right, okay. Exactly. Yes. So HPV and herpes, most of us all have.
Right.
And realistic, but it's your body is able to keep it at bay. Mm-hmm. But now that you've messed up that microbiome, it causes so much problems, let alone like what we're doing from an environmental perspective. And they all clog the piping and all that type of stuff. I think some
people say like, do not flush, which I'm like, totally. What are you doing with that?
Totally. But I get so much haters because I say ditch the wet wipes.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, and then they're like, oh, well, we use it on our babies. So like, why wouldn't it be good on your butt? And you're like, how many times do you ever see a kid, a baby with like around their mouth, like all redness, like psoriasis whacking? You're like, well, what is happening? The parents use the wet wipes to wipe the food off of their face and they get allergic reactions. Babies have really great tissue, and then all of a sudden they go into infants and toddlers, and then it changes. Mm-hmm. And then it's people start developing rashes over time. And it's not like just a one-off. I'm not saying like, oh, you know, you have a really bad poop, or like you're in a space that like you need to do something.
Some heavy-duty cleaning.
It's the chronicity of it, right? Okay. So I'm a huge bidet. You know,
that's what I was going to say. I come from a culture of wash your ass.
Yeah. Like, do you have a bidet, Raj?
I do.
Okay, here's my thing with the bidet. I'm going to tell you. I was given a free bidet. I went to this like butt con.
Yeah, I was there with you.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Tushy.
Yeah.
Butt con.
It was really cool. Okay. And they gave us all free bidets. But they're the ones that you plug into your toilet and use as a toilet water. It is so cold.
Oh, you get so used to it. And nowadays, oh, you do. I have it. And now everything, it's like the cold plunge is like all
but
in.
But on my butthole.
My parents have a heat, like a temperature control. That's what I want.
You can
really
do that.
I want the Cadillac of bidets.
You can access
your warm.
You deserve
the Cadillac of bidets.
But I kind of like the cold. It like wakes you up, you know, gives you a little tickle back there.
Team cold butthole, we're here.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not convinced, but I'm willing to investigate.
I think you should do it. Okay. Honestly, it like it changes your world.
Okay, so bidet and then wipe.
Or it's more the padding.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, and some people
padding,
do.
Got it.
Some people are really great where they don't want to waste paper, right? So they're even doing like with either like bamboo towels or things that you could, because in essence, like if you're really washing back there,
it should be clean.
Yes.
It's really not much there. And if your poops are in a good consistency and they're on the scale, which I'm sure we'll get to, of like really good formed, good poops, you really don't have that much wiping there. But you want to always make sure that you dry yourself.
Yeah.
And I like moisturizers, but people moisturize and then again, they pull their pants up and they're literally sitting in that. You really need to make sure that it's wiped in. It's a fast acting, you know, I started a company called Future Method and it's all about really great products to support anything anal, right? From sex to just daily hygiene. We have an anal exfoliant that is like appropriate for getting lube off, doing other things that, and kind of replenishing and really nourishing the area. The same thing on a soothing cream. And whether you use mine or others, I don't care. It's more of like clean yourself the right way. Nighttime shower, especially for the ass, is so important. Yeah. There's a lot of cultures that don't shower at night. I was always raised that like you get in your bed clean.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
I like that. But you know how many people don't? Now think about this. You shit three times a day. You are sweating your ass off all day. You are walking around New York City and then you just like get in bed.
Right.
Your butthole is so not clean.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. Anyone who has a vagina knows the importance of airing that region out. So it's the same for butthole.
Totally.
Don't let it be like swimming in a hot tub.
Totally. And even at night, like sleeping naked.
Right.
Make sure that like when you're in the winter versus summer, that like you're changing your sheets appropriately and you're comforter. Like you don't always want to sleep with like a down comforter during summer. Like it needs to aerate out. And especially a lot of people got big tushies.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the sun doesn't shine, the air doesn't get in there.
Yeah.
So you have to create an environment that is inviting.
Right. Let's say you don't have a bidet. What is the best way then if you are going to wipe? So it's not using wet wipes.
Yeah.
But how should people be wiping with regular toilet paper?
So the problem I see is when you think of the ass, think of like if you're looking at someone's hole, to the left and the right are these wrinkles, right?
Yeah.
It's like
right.
an accordion,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. It opens, it closes. The front and the back, so towards the vagina, towards the penis, testicle area, or the tailbone, the skin there is not wrinkled, okay? It's very thin.
Yeah.
Okay. When we wipe, where do we wipe? Usually front to back.
Right.
Thin skin. So what happens? We all wipe so much. So what happens over time? People tear the skin. Mm-hmm. It gets irritated. It's angry at us. So it's not that I want you to wipe left to right. It's more of the padding.
Got it.
It's saying, how do you, first of all, like think of pooping as less is always more in anything, right? Okay. Like we don't want to be going a bazillion times a day. We want to wipe less. We want to create an environment where, again, it's like drop and leave.
We're not stressing out our buttholes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that being said, same thing from a wiping perspective. Now, I get it. Like if you're having like food, certain foods, like it's going to be mushy and disgusting. Go in the shower, right? Like just pop in. Like you don't need to do a full shower. Just like
a little rinse.
But yeah, just put your. I posted one time me sitting on my sink with my ass in the sink and white and washing my
hole. Have you ever seen Bridesmaids? There's this like hilarious.
Yes. But people gave me such shit. They're like, you brush your teeth there? I'm like, I'm not. I'm cleaning it. It's not like I'm like leaving the thing. Yes. But again, I think that it just depends on where you are.
Yeah.
But I would say more of less of wiping front to back.
Gotcha.
More of padding where the hole is.
You heard it here first.
Okay. Bam. What about, this is controversial.
Okay.
And I was reading about this online on Reddit of all places and people were so, had such huge opinions. Sitting or standing to wipe.
Yes.
And so I read that like 65% of people sit.
Yeah.
35% stand.
I don't understand standing.
Well, I think it's not standing. It's not like you're totally vertical.
Okay.
It's like you can't be totally vertical.
Yeah,
you can't reach it.
But
what
the
people on Reddit were saying is like your butt cheeks aren't going fully back together.
Yes.
But you're basically kind of squatting, but you're not sitting on the toilet.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
You want my answer?
I do.
Always.
Okay. Yeah.
So standing, I think, is actually the preferred.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. So let's say you're sitting, you poop. Wipe once or twice when you're seated just to make sure it's not like, you know, like terribly disgusting, right? But when you stand up, remember the mechanism we spoke about of the blood leaving?
Yeah.
It happens then.
Okay.
So the longer you're sitting on the bowl, remember, the more blood, the more wiping, the more irritation, the body senses that. So you poop. You wipe once or twice, finish standing up. Why? The blood starts to leave. The mechanism now starts to go back to normal daily world.
Ah.
But you're right. There are some people that it's harder to when they're standing. They don't feel like they're getting the full hole.
But maybe we don't need to like go all up in there.
You don't need to go up all in there. But again, it goes back to if you are going up all in there, we need to go back to diet and fiber and pre and probiotics and start thinking about better strategies. I always say it's not butt health, it's gut health.
Mm.
If you have gut health, you will automatically have butt health.
Love that.
Makes sense.
It's a mantra.
Right?
Yeah.
That seems like a perfect segue to talk about like.
Yes, yes, it does.
Let's go a little deeper and inside. Like, what does an ideal poop look like? Is there an ideal poop, I guess, to start with?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want mush.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you just want like. I think going back to the dog, I always talk about dog poop.
Mm.
You know, a nice dog poop, when it comes out, you literally, you take your bag and you're able to just pick it up.
Right.
And it's not like hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's soft.
Yeah.
And it glides out.
Okay.
That's it. Congealed.
Yeah.
The problem is we see a lot of people with like IBS and New York City stress bullshit and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is they get out 60% of the poop. And then 40% sits there.
Mm.
And then you feel it. And then you're like, oh, I got to go again. And then it sets this cycle, right? And that in and of itself, that's why I do a lot of work with anal Botox for IBS.
Mm.
Because anal Botox relaxes that sphincter, that third sphincter that we say people can't open, they can't relax that. With IBS, it's not listening to you. There are these things called paradoxical motions where your brain says to your butt, open up, but your butt does the opposite.
I will say two things. Number one, my friend Kate once saw a doctor and her doctor told her that, this has haunted me since I've heard this,
oh no,
that a healthy poop should look like a wet banana. And like, that makes sense, but it's still just like made me look at bananas in a different way, made me look at my poop in a different way.
Yeah.
But I guess like that seems like a
kind of what you're saying.
People can hold in their head that image and like that seems useful.
That's maybe why I don't like those like bananas that are a little browner. Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Take off the top that's better.
Too close to home.
Yeah.
So I will say, because I had cancer in my abdomen, I was on Accutane, which is a acne medicine. Yeah. I was on it 3 times. And that stuff is like lighter fluid. Like they don't prescribe it the way they did when I was a kid. I was on antibiotics for a lot of my life. I was lactose intolerant for 20 years and now it's gone. Thank God. I had crazy shit issues for a long time. And in the last couple of years, I started doing a probiotic and I do it twice a day.
Yeah.
And my stuff is so good now. Like I'm so much happier. And my boyfriend's like, is it psychosomatic? Is it not? Should I try it? And I'm like, I don't know if it is psychosomatic. Like,
but you don't care, right?
I don't care.
You're in a great place.
So much better. And I feel like it is the probiotics.
You know, but if they took out the portion, it's called the ileocecal valve.
Yeah.
There must have been a valve that they removed.
It was a valve, yeah.
And that valve is important because what it does is it holds the poop back. It holds the liquid back to then really allow the colon to do its thing. When you don't have that, it's constantly flooded.
Yeah.
I think you probably, you know, as also we're aging, you're eating better, you're looking at things differently.
Completely.
But yes, I mean, I think the key is, again, is we learn more and more about the microbiome, right? The microbiome is so important, specifically in anal sex. When you look at STD risk, HIV risk, it's all about the alteration in the microbiome. If we go to Times Square and we swab 20 random people, I know who has anal sex.
Just from the swab.
Wow.
Because the microbiome from douching, from lubricants, from all this changes.
Interesting.
Not for the good.
Yeah.
Because now there's a higher prevalence of this species called Provotella. What happens? I think that the reality is most STDs are not from the act of sex. I mean, it is, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the transmission through the microbiome, the protective lining that is there. Mm. And again, what you're seeing, same thing on a stool perspective, which is how do you create the balance? I don't know what the balance is for you,
right?
But you have to go out there and figure out, hey, where is that on a fiber balance, on a diet, and a microbiome perspective, so that you're in a really good state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that being said, I think there's so many questions around keeping your microbiome healthy right now. And I'm interested in like your thoughts on food and drink behaviors that, and I know it's a little bit different for everyone, but if you want the healthiest poop via your microbiome.
Yeah.
Like, what are you getting more of? What are you avoiding?
Yeah, like processed foods. It seems like those are probably
bad. How much vodka can I have?
Well, if you look at like vegetarians and vegans and talk to them about their poops, like they're so proud.
Yeah.
Right?
Prouder than me. They like ascend into
totally
the sky.
Right.
Yeah. I have lots
clearly, of vegan friends. That's the right way.
Plant forward, right?
Totally. Like, so like no matter what, if it's like, you know, again, I think that that's the thought process. But you have to look at what works. Like the reality is like pizzas and fatty foods and all that stuff is not really good. You have to look, protein is really good for a bulking agent. You just got to be careful because it can make people significantly constipated.
Totally.
A lot of people, weightlifters or people at the gym using protein to kind of supplement, you got to be careful. The protein bars, if I have one bar, I'm not shitting for 3 days because it does that. It binds you. It pulls together. Obviously the leafy greens and all of that type of stuff. All that, you know, the yogurts are amazing, you know, just because a lot of them do have the microbiome components where they're replenishing the lactobacillus and all of that. Yeah. So I think, again, everyone knows what is the right food, right? You know, I was just at Le Botanist. Do you ever eat them?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. I'm going to plug them. They've been around forever.
Okay.
Anyhow, plant-based, they are just homemade, all cooked in like La Crosette cookware.
Right.
And they're all around the city. I think they're in lots of places, but they make you have good poops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that know it and they're there. I mean, they're packed all the time.
Right.
Clean, it's healthy. You don't feel like shit after you eat it.
Yeah.
And it just creates this environment where life is good.
Yeah. This is kind of like when people are like, what's the secret best diet? And it's like, eat well and exercise.
Yeah.
Duh. Yeah. I get it. It's like common sense.
But everybody, I always meet people where they are. You know, you're going to go to Joe's Pizza and get
totally
it, right? And you should.
Yes,
you should.
Exactly.
But I think that when you create the habit, right? If you're doing the fiber, if you're eating, like during the week in the city, I don't eat lunch.
Mm.
I'll only do a protein shake with acai seeds and all. Why? Because I just know that because of in the city, I'm stressed, I'm running around, that if I do that, it's going to mess up my entire system. Yeah. But yet on the weekends when I'm home, I'm more relaxed. I can have a full 2 to 3 meals a day mm-hmm. and feel comfortable with that. You have to just analyze and think differently, you know? Yeah. And I hope people from this are saying, oh, this makes sense. And how do we analyze what changes can be made? And I say, if you're going to make changes, one change at a time.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you're never going to know if that change
totally.
Actually. And the people are like, oh, I took a fiber, I took a probiotic, shit doesn't work. I'm like, bro, like, you need to do it for like a month.
Right.
Totally.
Like, stay consistent. On it, be consistent.
Yeah.
The body is that.
Right.
You know, it wants to be consistent. It's a machine. You know, treat it with kindness.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are there other things that we should be worried about if we see, like, color, smell,
sure.
are there red flags, no pun intended, that like if we see something in the toilet bowl or we smell something, we should be like, that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, I think the smell stuff is always hard because food processed and how it comes through and cheeses and all that stuff,
right.
you know, it.
Sorry.
I think it's, again, it's like more of if you are habitual and you know, and you normally fart like, and the smell is this, and then all of a sudden it's changing
yeah.
and you're like, well, what is that? You know, someone said that they were taking a fiber or a probiotic,
oh, yeah.
and then like it made their farts stink.
Supplements will affect your pee and poop. Yes.
Totally. I mean, it's the same thing. I don't know with asparagus. Does your pee smell?
Yeah, it smells different for
it's
sure.
So I mean, mine. Right. Some people don't have that where they can't smell it. Like
yes.
I'm like,
oh no,
disgusting.
I can smell
right.
it.
It's
yeah.
so bad.
Right. Yeah.
Anyhow, same concept of that. But I think that when you look at like, obviously, if you're bleeding out your ass, that's not normal.
Yes.
And we can talk about that.
Also, just make sure you haven't had beets. I've had that before.
Oh my God.
I was going to say,
I was
that.
Like, oh my God,
like,
what,
yeah.
what happened? Yeah. It's like a murder scene.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I had beets.
Yes.
Yeah. But then it's also your like snot and your pee
yes.
and like everything
it's
that's
terrible.
Like hot pee.
Yeah. So many times I get people, I'm like, did you have beets? They're like,
right.
yes. I'm like, I could see it. It's different. Black stools, right? That's
yeah.
like an upper GI bleed. It's like you have an ulcer. Or something else going on.
That could be super serious,
up.
Though,
yes.
right? Yeah.
So again, I think, you know, I always tell people if it's one, you know, it's okay. If it's
right.
if it's persisting 3 to 5 days
okay.
and you're having some issues and you're nervous about it, get checked. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, especially nowadays with colonoscopies and access to care and really being on top of things to prevent cancers and colon cancer and stomach cancer, like we should know that black stools are not good.
Right.
Red stools that are more kind of around the poop are not good.
Okay.
Right.
right? And things that cause like, you know, you have to think of if you are bleeding or in some capacity, is it painful?
Mm-hmm.
Is it non-painful? Most non-painful are internal hemorrhoids.
Right.
Inside, above a certain line, you don't have pain sensations.
Mm.
That seam, remember we spoke of the seam? Above that, it's called the dentate line. Above that line, there are no sensations for pain. And so again, looking at your poop, it's important to look at your poop. What color is it? What consistency is it? And just figuring out. And then obviously, if you start to see those others, it's now knowing what do you need to do and try to see. And then if it's like, hey, I don't know what to do, then go see somebody.
Dr. Goldstein, this has been amazing.
So fun. Wait, I have one off the cuff, if I
let's
may.
Let's do it. Yeah,
do it.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. I'm not going to name her, but my best friend lets me tell the story. She 1 year ran the Mumbai Marathon. She's an amazing runner. And you know how people during marathons
oh,
have
God.
To poop. It's
a
whole thing. I have another
too.
Friend that her kid held up a sign that said, don't poop for like
yes.
marathoners.
Yeah.
It was really cute. But this friend of mine, love her to pieces. She had a little breakfast or something the night before. And as soon as she started the marathon, had to poop.
Yeah.
This bitch ran the entire marathon with her butthole clenched. Like, she is my hero.
No, that makes
okay?
me angry.
Yeah.
No, she, but here's the thing. She said that if she stopped to poop, like it would ruin her time.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it would completely
ruin
really
her
time.
And they're really serious.
Yeah.
This is why
I
you
mean,
don't run
really
marathons.
And she said that she like broke her PR because she like did breathing exercises and made it. That is my nightmare. First of all, I laughed for an hour when I heard that, but that's like also my nightmare because like holding poop when you can't go is crazy. Are there breathing exercises? Is there stuff you should do if you have to go and it's not the time?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, I think realistically, think about how many times you've had like a diarrhea and you know, and you're like, right. holding, right?
Yeah.
And so the question is it just like a wave of
yes,
like
is
that?
It a wave?
Or is it, and so like in theory, you're clenching and holding, you're trying to tell your body like, this is not the right time. And then sometimes the body listens yeah. and it stops that. And you're like, oh, okay, we're good for
Thank
now.
Thank you, yeah.
And then other times you're like,
you just
gotta go. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, I am mortified with marathons, I gotta say. So my parents would take us, because I live not too far from the city, to every marathon. Oh. And we would go on, what is it, First Avenue or Second Avenue and wait and watch and watch. And I just remember when I was like 13 or 14, this one guy was, and those were like short shorts, you know, like back in the 80s, like the running shorts, right? He lifted up and the biggest shit came out whole. Like
was it a healthy shit?
It was so healthy.
Wait, is this your origin story? Is this why you became a butt doctor?
It just came out on the street. And I remember seeing it. And my mother like, but totally like just tried to cover my eyes. But like it was too late. Every marathon, I text mom. I'm like, mom, it's marathon. And she just sends me the shit emoji over and over because it's unbelievable. But a lot of them don't care.
Right.
Even if they have diarrhea, yeah. I've seen people with like just shit all over them.
Oh my God.
They just let it go. They don't fuck with their time. They don't go to the bathroom.
They're so serious about their time.
Don't say this to me like this is a good thing. No, I'm not impressed.
I am traumatized by this entire conversation, but I think it's an important one to have. And also, I do agree that Dr. Goldstein is a poop superhero, and this may be his origin story.
This is the origin story. This is why you are who you are.
Maybe.
Wonderful.
But you know what? Like, but also, like we shouldn't shame the guys or girls, anyone that's shitting while they're going. That's kind of nice.
I'm not shaming them. I'm just thinking I don't ever want that for myself.
I know.
It's too stressful.
But don't say, I mean, in life,
yeah.
when someone says, oh, it's not going to happen, or I don't want it to happen, like, you never know. Like, we never know. Like, you could be, like, walking on the street, and all of a sudden, it's bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, something's going to happen.
Yes.
It can happen to all of us.
But that seems different than me choosing to run a marathon.
I know, but, like, it's so stressful.
Over to, like,
I know, but they want to get under 3 hours. A lot of these people, it's like clockwork.
She's been training. She's my hero.
I'm going to go on record. This is my favorite episode we've done so far. So
you know,
thank you for this
gift. Conversations
gift.
Are just always great.
They're the best. They're the best.
So much fun.
And I hope all of our listeners are enjoying this.
I hope
and
you
good
best
poops,
poop ever.
Please.
Yes.
And if you don't have good poops, like, you know, surround yourself with people that do have good poops.
Totally.
You know, just inspire them.
Well, thank you guys.
Thank you again for being here. This has been so good.
Illuminating.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for Better in 5. These are your top 5 takeaways from this episode.
Number 1, the ideal potty posture is different for everyone, but it's almost always going to involve some kind of squat.
Number 2, don't spend more time on the toilet than you need to. This is not the time to contemplate life or play words with friends or look for a date. Literally shit and get off the pot.
Mm-hmm. Number 3, as Dr. Goldstein says, gut health leads to butt health. Consider incorporating more fruits and vegetables into your diet, hydrating, and perhaps taking a probiotic.
Number 4, wet wipes might seem like a good idea, but they're actually hell for your hole.
Mm-hmm.
Bidets are your best bet, but if you have to wipe, consider a standing squat and blot.
I love a squat and blot. And number 5, find your perfect poop. For most people, that looks and feels like, as Noah calls it, a wet banana. In texture, not color, everyone.
Raj, have you been pooping wrong?
I still think I'm a great pooper, but we are a wet wipe household and I'm rethinking that whole thing now.
That was pretty shocking to me too.
It was.
Like, I've heard the thing about it's obviously bad for the environment. It's actually bad for like your plumbing system, but I'd never heard someone say that it was really bad for your butt.
I love the environment, but I love my butthole slightly more.
Yeah, but you also don't want like rashes and things either down there, right?
100%. Okay, what about you?
I'm still fixated on him talking about anal exfoliation.
Yeah, that sounds magical.
I'm thinking
magical.
About that like apricot scrub. You know what I mean?
Stop calling our ages out. What the hell?
I'm guessing that's not what he's talking about using, but I like this thing where he was like, you should be treating your butt as well as you treat your face.
Absolutely.
A lot of stuff goes on down there, and I think we just don't think about it, and we should be.
It's true. And also the main takeaway, you know, from this extremely illuminating conversation was that everybody's poop and, you know, butt journey is a little bit different. So kind of be intentional about it. Study your diet, your body, because really happy poops make you extremely happy as a person.
Completely. And only you know what that looks like.
Truly.
Or feels like or smells like. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. Everyone's on a different poop journey. And just we have to do the best poop journey we can do.
I wish you the best poop journey, Noah.
Until next time, as long as there are things to get wrong, we're going to be right here to help you do them better.
Happy turds, y'all.
Do you have something you think you're doing wrong? Email us at amidoingitwrong@huffpost.com and let us know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.